Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. Here we learn about the Bible and we teach those who can teach others. So we go in depth into the Bible. And we'll be doing that today in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, nine perplexing verses from the Bible. Before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, glorify your Son through your Spirit. Shed your light on your word, that we may understand your truth for the glory of your name. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at the passage, Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. Now there was some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is talking about judgment. It's talking about perishing. Perishing of individual people, perishing of unbelievers, and perishing of the nation of Israel, which is the fig tree. Well, what's perishing? We know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that all who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. You see, perishing is the natural state of fallen humanity. Since Adam sinned, since we were cut off from God, since we came under the dominion of darkness, since we've been living in a world run by the prince of darkness and inhabited by demons, full of injustice and affliction, perishing, randomness, death and destruction, the injustice of government such as Pilate, the tragedies of life such as that tower falling on 18 people and killing them, all these things that happen, the random violence, droughts, diseases and plagues of this world are part of a perishing creation which one day will be consumed by fire at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in a fallen world. We are fallen people. We are naturally on our way to the lake of fire. We're on our way to hell. And that's a terrible thing. And why do people go to hell? It says here in John 3:17-19, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment: the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." So, what's the story here? The world's evil. The world loves darkness rather than light. The world is chaotic, and we are naturally in a state of unbelief. So, whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed. When we don't believe, we are under the wrath of God. That says that in Romans chapter 1. We are in a natural state where we're under God's wrath, which is why we die, which is why the so much tragedy and pain in life. Life in this world is in a state of rebellion against God. We have, through our own sin, joined forces with Satan, with the devil, and with demons. And unknowingly, and sometimes knowingly, we are in rebellion against God. Our mind is hostile to God, and our flesh cannot please God. The flesh in itself is unable to please the Lord. We must be spirit-filled as a result. We must believe. We must get eternal life. We must be filled with the Spirit and put the flesh to death before we can please God, because we are in a state of decay. Our minds, our bodies, our social manners, everything is in a state of decay, and we will perish with utter certainty because we're already on the hell-bound train. Think of it this way. There are two trains, a train going to heaven and a train going to hell. And the destination is written on the front of the train. So the train going to heaven says heaven on the front, and it has a destination already set out. It is predestined. The destination for that train is on. And if you're a believer, you get on the heaven-bound train. You go to the destination that the train says, and that is to heaven, that is to glory, that is to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're on the other train, the wide track, the big train that is full of people who do not know that they're on the hellbound train, it doesn't matter. They're on the hellbound train anyway. They're going straight to the grave. They're going straight to the lake of fire. And they say, oh, I couldn't be bothered with that heavenbound train. This train's comfortable. I like the devil and all his lies. That's what they do. They want their own pride. They want their own way. And they're headed on the hellbound train. And that's where we're born. We're born on the hellbound train. We have to get off it. We have to escape. We have to come out of that place. And we have to find our way to the heavenbound train. We have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It says here, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So when you hear the word of Jesus Christ, when you believe, you gain eternal life. You are instantly put on the heaven-bound train. You come out of darkness into light. You come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and that saves you. So here we have these people, and they had these terrible tragedies taking place in their life. The Galileans, they come to Jerusalem to worship, and Pilate, who was in charge, decided he didn't like Galileans. And in fact, he didn't like them because they were always rebelling and doing this and that. So this group of Galileans who may have been rebelling against Rome, we're not sure about that, but they came to do homage, to give Passover sacrifices or some sacrifices of some sort. And Pilate hated them so much that he sent soldiers into the temple and chopped them to pieces and killed them even while they were sacrificing to God. And at a time they should have been clear of their sins, they were chopped to pieces. And here Jesus uses them as an example of good people who had died in a bad way. So this breaks the law of karma. The law of karma is not a Christian thing. It's a pagan idea that if we're good, good things must happen to us. If we're bad, then bad things happen to us. And so if something bad happens to you, then that can only be because you did something bad. And that is the argument of the false friends in the book of Job. They says, all this tragedy has come upon you, therefore confess. What did you do wrong? But Job was a person of integrity. He says, I've done nothing wrong. I don't understand why these evil things, the death of his children, the wiping out of his fortune, the boils on his body, the destruction of everything he owned, why had that happened? And the answer is, it's not because of karma. It's because of an evil attack, an attack of the enemy. And we know that Pilate was an enemy of the Jews. He slaughtered these people because he was a demonic-inspired being. He was a dictator. He was an evil person. And he liked killing Jews. And at times he would crucify hundreds of them. He was so rough on the Jews, he was eventually recalled to Rome because he was causing rebellions among the Jews. And they thought, no, you're too tough on these Jewish people. And we need to be able to tax them. And they're going into a tax revolt. And so he was taken back. So, and I believe he died in disgrace in Rome. Not quite sure how Pilate perished. But Pilate was a violent man. He was cruel to the Jewish people. Jesus is saying the fact that Pilate was cruel to these people does not mean these people were bad people. They were not worse sinners than anyone else. And then the Tower of Siloam, a natural tragedy. The tower falls. No one knows when it's going to fall. It just crashes down. And 18 people are killed. Did they die because they were bad? Did they die because they were sinners? No, they died because that's the way this fallen world works. Sometimes things happen that are chaotic. Sometimes things happen that are wrong. Sometimes there is a plague. Sometimes there is disease. Sometimes people get malaria. So if someone dies from malaria, does that mean they were worse than someone who lived through malaria? Not at all. That is just the way the fallen world, the perishing world works. And we need to get out of the fallen world. We need to get out of the world that is perishing into God's good kingdom. And the only access to God's good kingdom is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must believe in him. And so we've got to get rid of the terrible idea of karma. And the idea of karma is really knocked in John chapter 9, the man born blind. And the connection between sin and disease was so strong in the Jewish mind that when the disciples saw the man born blind, they said, "Who sinned, him or his parents?" And Jesus says, "He did not sin, neither did his parents. He was born blind so the glory of God might be displayed." And he opens his eyes and he follows him along the road. And it was a messianic sign that Jesus could open the eyes of one born blind. And that became a sign and a wonder to the Jewish people and an indication that Jesus was the Messiah. Not all terrible things are a result of your sin or of someone else's sin or even of a curse. That's just the way this world works. It's a world full of pain and anguish. It's a world in which we get rejected, we get hurt, our relationships break up. And yes, we need to repent. And the main kind of repentance you need to repent is a repentance from unbelief to belief. You need to stop rejecting Jesus and you need to accept Jesus and you need to follow his gospel and you need to follow his teachings. Not your own teachings, not the teachings of the world, not the ideas of the world. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You need to say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe in you. I turn away from my unbelief. I turn away from my wickedness. I accept the new covenant. I accept the new agreement with you in your blood for the forgiveness of my sins." And you accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers you. And he says, "You are forgiven. You now have the righteousness of God in Christ. You have moved from death to life. You have moved out of judgment. And you're no longer under the terrifying judgment of God." And that's what we call the Krino judgment, the capital K-R-I-N-O. It's the judgment of the whole person for what they are as a human being. So if you're an unbeliever, you're under Krino judgment, the heaven or hell judgment. As Christians, we have rewards given to us later, and that's a different kind of judgment. That's a judgment for reward, and that's for individual things we've done. But that is different. That's a docimazo, a discernment judgment. So here we are, the terrible judgment of heaven or hell hangs over us until we believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we know that we must repent and that everyone on the face of the earth will perish unless they repent, so that they may not perish but may have eternal life. The natural state of fallen humanity is perishing. We are not naturally good. We are naturally decaying. We are naturally falling into sin. We are naturally getting upset by the things of this world, and we are powerless against them because we are spiritually dead. Our mind is hostile to God. Our flesh cannot please God, and we are separated from God by our sins. We are helpless, but God so loved us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were a sinner and I were a sinner, the whole world was in sin, Christ died for us on the cross so that we might have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are perishing. There's only one solution to perishing, one solution to being judged by God, and that is faith in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins through his blood, through his work on the cross. You must believe in Jesus. Now, the word for perishing here means it's something that's done to you. It's passive. You're passive. You're going to have this perishing done to you. You will be judged by God. You'll be cast into hell. Your life is falling apart because you are actively under the wrath of God until you believe, because of your membership in a fallen world where this fallen world is headed by the devil. Whether you know it or not, you're serving the devil until you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then we come to the second part of today's verses. And he told this parable: a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." What is the fig tree? Now, those of you that are Bible scholars out there, those of you who are pastors or deacons or elders, you know that the fig tree is Israel. It's the sign of the end times when the fig tree comes into blossom. So the fig tree is national Israel. It's the nation as a whole. And we know the fig tree, the national Israel, has started to come into blossom. We are close to the end times. So this fig tree, national Israel, and the olive tree is spiritual Israel. So the olive tree is spiritual Israel. The fig tree is national Israel. The fig tree was about to be cut down. The Romans would come in AD 66, surround Jerusalem after a tax revolt, and then gradually destroy Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. So here the clock is ticking. It's ticking away. 40 more years to go. The end of Israel is at hand. It's just one more day away before the nation would perish, before it would be uprooted and cast out. And this 40 years was the one more day on which the vine dresser, and the vine dresser in John 15 is Jesus. This is the one more day that Israel had, and it wasted that day, and it came into judgment. The time is short. The time is not infinite. The nations we are part of, whether it's America or Australia or Canada or Uganda or Kenya or wherever we go in the world, those nations have a date set on them, a date when they will expire, a date when they will be judged, just as in the end the Roman Empire was judged, Babylon was judged. At some point they will say, "Babylon, Babylon is fallen." And the great world system, the entire world system that will have been created by then, the one world government, it will come to an end. God has appointed times of judgment for the nations, and this was the appointed time of judgment for Israel. Why? Why was Israel being judged? Why was the fruit tree about to be cut down? Why was the last day of time, it was ticking, the clock was ticking, the last day was ticking away here, the last 40 years was just, in this case, was the one day in God's sight. This was the 40 years of mercy, and they rejected the mercy of God. Why? Because the tree was unfruitful. You see, God was looking for fruit from Israel. He was looking for mercy, justice, righteousness, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted Israel to be a spirit-filled nation. He had given it the law. He had sent them the prophets. He sent them John the Baptist. He sent them Jesus. And they chose their own ways. They chose their own hardness of heart. They chose to reject God and establish a religion that was harsh and cruel and brutal and legalistic. A religion that eventually crucified Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and rejected the apostles and rejected the early Christians and persecuted them. And even would go all the way to Rome to testify against Christians. The Roman persecution was a result of Jewish people stirring things up in Rome against the Christians, and then the Romans took it further by themselves. So you need to know that Israel was without fruit. Now, look in your own life. Look in your own city. Look in your own church. Do you see fruitfulness? Are people getting saved in your church? Are they getting baptized in your church? Are they growing as believers in your church? Are they overcoming their resentments and unforgiveness and turning into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there fruit? If your church is barren, if it is cold, if it is not generous, if it is stingy, if it is full of gossip, then God may remove the candlestick from your church. He might say to your church, no, this church is no good. It is not fulfilling my commandments. It is living a selfish life. It is just a social club. The elders and people in the church are running it for themselves and for their own pleasure and for their own families and for their own advantage. And he will get rid of that church. And churches that are full of immorality, churches full of false doctrine, churches full of greed, churches without fruit will be removed. They will be judged. You see, God is looking for fruitfulness in your life and mine. But he is not harsh. He is merciful. He is like the vine dresser. And in John 15, it says the vine dresser goes through, and if any branch bears fruit, he trims it that it may bear much more fruit. But if a branch bears no fruit whatsoever, it is cut off, it is cast away, it is useless, and it is burned. You see, the fruitful branches may be pruned, they may be disciplined. God may discipline your life, but he does so in mercy that you may bear more fruit. But the branch that is completely dead, that has come out of the vine, that has no more life in it, it is removed from the vine. And we see this over the years with various cults and church groups that have become dead. And there was a branch of Christianity that went across to the east, and it's called Nestorian Christianity, and it became very formal and cold and dead, and it was wiped out by Islam, it was wiped out by the Mormons. It went all the way to China and Japan. But it was wiped out because it bore no fruit. It had a strange view of the Lord Jesus Christ and his two natures. And above that, it was very much a ritualistic religion that was devoid of the Holy Spirit. And eventually, because it was devoid of the Holy Spirit, this enormously huge branch of Christianity vanished from the face of the earth. Some of the formal denominations that have come and gone over the 2,000s of years of Christianity, once they're about man, once they're about church property, once they're about building empires, God says, there is no fruit here. They're just doing this for themselves. And they remove entire branches of Christianity because they have borne no fruit. And so you need to be a spirit-filled believer. You need Jesus dwelling in your heart. You need to read the Bible. You need to pray. You need to do good deeds. You need to have compassion. You need to have mercy. Your life needs to be filled with the good fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the self-control, the justice, fairness, all the things, integrity. God wants to see good fruit in your life. Do not be a barren individual, cold, snarky, cruel, selfish, oppressive. Those people are people that God removes, God judges, but he is giving you time now to repent. You have time to repent. Take it. Do not wait till the last judgment. Do not wait till the vine dresser comes back. He will help you to grow. He'll put manure on the plants. Yeah, obviously, he's not going to put manure on you, but he's going to give you the conditions required for growth. And if you do not respond to the conditions required for growth, to God's blessing on your heart and your life, then God will say, that's it. That's enough for this person, this family, this church, this nation. And he will say, I've done all I could for it. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 5. He says, I've done everything I can for Israel. What more could have I done for my vine? What more could have I done for my vineyard? And he talks about this. And this points back to Isaiah chapter 5, except that was a vineyard and this is a fig tree. He's saying, what more could have I done for it? So he does everything he can, but if there is no response, then it is cut down. And there was no response. There was no repentance from the nation of Israel. It rejected Christianity. It rejected Jesus. It rejected the apostles. It persecuted the apostles. It stoned Stephen. It executed James. It tried to execute Peter. Again and again, The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the temple priests resisted the gospel. And in the end, they lost their nation. They lost Jerusalem. And eventually every last Jew was kicked out of the land of Palestine. It was named Palestine to insult them because it was named Palestine after the Philistines. The nation perished. Why? Because it did not repent. Repentance is your path to God. If you're listening to this broadcast and you're saying, I'll leave it to tomorrow, do not leave it to tomorrow. You do not know. The Lord is knocking at your door. The vine dresser is ready to chop down the tree. The axe is laid at the root of the trees. Repent of your sins right now. Turn to Jesus Christ right now and say, Jesus Christ, please forgive my sins. I turn to you. I want to live a fruitful Christian life. I repent of my sins. Please forgive my sins. Set your Holy Spirit in my heart. I turn from wickedness to righteousness. I turn from coldness to the joy of the Lord. I turn my heart from materialism and the worship of money in this world to the worship of God, my Creator. And turn and worship God. Repent of all witchcraft. Repent of all magic. Repent of all things that are opposed to God. And drugs, and drunkenness, all the rest. Repent of those things. Repent of sexual immorality. Turn to the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will perish. Do not perish along with the world. Do not perish along with those who refuse to believe. Instead, come into eternal life. Remember, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you do not come into judgment. You escape the judgment of God. Your sins are forgiven. You'll receive a resurrection body. You will have the joy of the Lord. You'll receive eternal life. You have passed from death into life. Reach out to the Lord Jesus now and say, Lord Jesus Christ, give me eternal life. I repent. I turn from my foolishness. I turn from my wicked way. I turn from my sin. I look to the cross of Jesus Christ. Forgive me now, Lord Jesus. Give me eternal life. Bless me in Jesus' name. Take me out of judgment. Take me out of death. Into life. Into your eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.